Good afternoon. Do you turn your Bibles to John chapter 14, Gospel of John and chapter 14. Come to a wonderful part of God's Word this afternoon. John chapter 14, and as you turn there, remind yourselves as you look back at the last few verses we looked at last Lord's Day and Simon Peter's question to Jesus, which led to this John chapter 14, where Christ did not ignore the question but drew attention to the fact that Simon Peter, who said he will never betray Christ but he will follow him even to his death, and so we looked at that whole sequence of events jumping forward, you may remember. But his question to Jesus was, Lord, why cannot I follow you? Where are you going? Was Peter's words to him. And Jesus did not ignore that. After he spoke privately, it seems, to Simon Peter, he turns now back to the 11. Remember, there's no divisions, and there's definitely no time lapse here. Jesus has been talking to Peter. He turns again, and they may have overheard what was being said to the 11. To answer that first question, let's read then John 14 and 1 to 6. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. This then the word of God. And if you want a text for this afternoon's sermon, in fact, it'll be the heading for the next three sermons, each with a subheading of their own. Christ's remedy for a troubled heart. Christ's remedy for a troubled heart. We live in an age, especially with the internet and social media, where quick remedies are easy to find and bountifully offered. Oops, I messed something. I spilled something in this. What's going to take it out? And 1,000 ladies will give you some remedies for that. And when you find a good remedy and it works, you feel the need to share it with people. Well, I brought some remedies with me from South Africa. And one of them was that when you get a splinter and you can't reach it, you can't quite pull it out, it's a wood splinter and it kind of disappears. And I had one this week, the bottom of my foot, the worst place. I was about to get into bed and there was a splinter on the floor and I went right into my foot and immediately wanted to grab the teeth, look, and I could not see it. I could see the spot, but I could not reach it. And it was so painful, it was a tiny little thing, no problem. My wife got some soap and crushed it up and added some sugar and made a paste out of that. And I put this paste on a plaster and I put it on my foot and I went to sleep. And I woke up and the splinter was gone. And that's an old remedy from South Africa. And this one works. Apparently the sugar and the soap have some kind of a drawing effect, but for me, it works. The problem with most of these home remedies is that they most often do not work. And most often, they are just old wives' tales passed down through the generations. And more importantly, there are no lasting remedies for a troubled spirit and a heart. No home or professional remedy can offer you lasting comfort when your soul is troubled. You will not find relief for your burden of sin, for guilt, for hopelessness that you feel. There is no human remedy for a broken spirit and a troubled soul. this is exactly the ailment that Jesus' 11 disciples at this time were suffering. Considering the events that were to take place before them, Christ has been speaking about these things. All their Jewish ideas of a government that Christ is to be ruler of, and one of his disciples on the right and one on the left, and the kingdom has come on earth. This is how the Jewish mind thinks. This has been shattered. Their hearts were troubled to despair, and Christ brings them the remedy for a troubled heart in these first 6 or 7 verses of John's Gospel, chapter 14. And Christ, as we read this, his intentions are very clear and plain. He sought to comfort and establish and build up his downcast disciples whose hearts were very troubled at this time. Consider the reasons for their state of mind at this time. Firstly, their Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, has just told them in the last chapter, "Now my soul is troubled." Christ, their master's heart was troubled. "Shall I pray, Father, save me from this hour?" And then they've just been told that it is a fact that one of the 12 would betray him, and that he, Christ, would be handed over by this betrayal to the Jews to suffer and die at their hands. Then there was the mysterious departure of Judas, who went out after the supper, who Jesus spoke to him, and John knew this, but none of the others. And he's not there for the rest of this intimate discourse with Christ's disciples, and he only reappears in the garden some hours later with some soldiers and temple officials to betray Christ. Now, if that's not enough, Christ has just told them also that he will only be with them for a little time longer, a little while longer, that they could not follow him where he was going. And finally, there was the shocking revelation to Peter, one of the spokesmen, one of the ones who always had a question, but in fact was really expressing what everybody was thinking. Even Thomas, with his doubting, he was really a spokesperson, wasn't he, for the other 11, that Peter would deny his master 3 times before morning breaks, after expressing to Christ that, "I will follow you to death, me, never, never." That is why they were troubled in their souls. What then is Christ's remedy for the troubled hearts of his disciples? As I said, over the next 3 weeks, Lord willing, we will consider Christ's threefold remedy for the troubled heart. And really is one remedy that is together. We just break it up for ease of understanding and for our study. We consider these under the following 3 titles. Today, consider your God. That is the title today. Consider your God. Then next Lord's Day, consider your home. Consider your home. And then finally, in 3 weeks' time, consider the rite of passage. Consider the rite of passage. John chapter 14 has for more than 2,000 years been the consolation and the heart remedy for the troubled soul to millions of believers. Whether on their deathbed or facing disease or in your trials and in their infirmities, these are not household remedies to try, but the sure remedy of the Word of God and the Word of Christ to the believer, and a means of salvation to the unbeliever. Let's come then to the first remedy today. For the first part of the whole remedy, consider your God. John chapter 14 and verse 1. Consider your God. Jesus' words are simple. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. I have 3 very simple sub-points. Number 1, God is greater than our hearts. God is greater than our hearts. The first phrase is simply this: let not your hearts be troubled. This is a command. The command of Christ is clear. What is Christ's command? Don't do it. Don't do it. Easier said than done. And if Christ had stopped with that sentence, he would not have been, there would not have been much consolation for these vulnerable and weak disciples, given everything that's about to happen and that Christ has told them is going to happen. It was not a time of strong faith for the 12. As they were soon to see, one of them, Judas, would be the betrayer of Christ. He abandons faith and loyalty for money. And Peter, talk is one thing, but reality quite another. As Peter found out to his shame, as we observed last Lord's Day, he thought he was strong, only to find a troubled heart simply crumbling with fear as he denied the Savior three times in the most cowardly way. Another disciple, followed at a distance, and he blended in like a chameleon, unlikely to be spotted because he was amongst familiar faces. And as for the other nine, they scattered in fear as soon as Christ was arrested, as was prophesied would happen. Brothers and sisters, heart trouble is the most common thing in the world. And no one is exempt from it, from inward and from outward causes, from the body and from the mind, from what we love and from what we fear. The journey of life is full of trouble. And the older we get, you think we get wiser? The older we get, it seems, the more anxiety we have. Our anxiety levels don't shrink, but they multiply. How often, for you older folk, and I guess 50 plus, if I have to give a number, how often does sleep elude you because you lie awake worrying about a possible disaster, anxious about life and money and relationships? Can't believe I said that to that person. We lie awake, possible disasters, and even our sin. Pink says the best Christians all have many bitter cups to drink between grace and glory. Christ says, let not your heart be troubled. Note this command isn't accompanied by a promise that trouble and burdens and cares will be removed. You will still have these. And as you get older, they'll get more and bigger. This is reality, but rather, we are not to be troubled, not overly occupied with anxieties and cares of this world. These are not to occupy our hearts to such an extent that we forget God. And we fail to see God's providences in all of our lives. And these include the light providences and those gracious mercies and blessings, as well as the dark providences. All these occupy a purpose for the believer, as they did for the disciples on that day, for our sanctification and for the glory of God. Their purpose is not anxiety and a troubled heart, but rather a lesson of faith, which we will see as this remedy unfolds. Basically, Christ is trying to remind them, consider God. In all our affairs, in our trials, in our tribulations, and our infirmities, and all of our temporal difficulties, consider your God. This is not the first time Christ has addressed this issue. In fact, Matthew 6, there's a long portion there where Christ dedicates this to the anxieties of the world. I'll just read three of those verses. Therefore, I tell you, said Christ, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat and what you will drink, about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? And a little further down, Christ repeats it and he says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. You don't have to lie awake at night. Consider your God who provides the lilies of the field and the birds of the air. Not one was clothed as Solomon even in all his glory. At verse 34, therefore do not be anxious about tomorrow the third time, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient is the day for its own trouble. Philippians 4, Paul takes out this very teaching and he picks it up there. Very well-known passage, you needn't go there. Philippians 4 and verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but by prayer and supplication, present your requests and make them known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. None of these teachings is a denial of the reality of trouble, but it is a command in both passages to consider your God. Don't worry about the food you eat. He clothes and feeds the birds. Christ himself was troubled in his spirit. We read this. But what was the difference? The scriptures teach, but he trusted in God. In fact, Isaiah 53, talking about the suffering servant in verse 11, predicts of Christ. And so it was, because we're nearly there in this portion of God's word. Out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Consider your God. Christ was troubled in his soul, but he trusted in God. Christ's troubled spirit was the anguish of his soul on the cross, but by this knowledge, his soul was satisfied because he trusted in God. As he bore the iniquities of many, they were accounted righteous. Out of this anguish of his soul came this righteous, wonderful result. Psalm 22 is another one, likewise prophesying those very words of the Savior on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? This was the anguish of his soul. This caused him to be troubled in his spirit. What do we read a few verses down? Verse 8 of Psalm 22. He trusts in the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, for he delights in him. Brothers and sisters, consider God in your cares and in your anxieties. If you put all those things that keep you awake at night into perspective, as Christ did, he trusted in God, and as his disciples did not do at this time, the words of Christ take on a new meaning, and we can joyfully obey this command of Christ, let not your hearts be troubled. When I was in the army, and I told you this before, I had a buddy. You went nothing, nowhere on your own if you were in the bush or on patrol. You had a buddy who went with you. And my buddy, I had just come out of seminary and was in the army. He had just come out of the Dutch Reformed Seminary. And we were buddies. We did guard duty together in the middle of winter, in the middle of the night. And we sang hymns and choruses just about all night until we were told to shut up. But this is what we did. And one of the Afrikaans songs that we sang, I'll never forget the song. Kom wind, kom reën, kom oseaan, dit is die rots waarop jou huisie staan. Come wind, come rain, come ocean, this is the rock upon which I stand. You're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Consider your God in your cares and anxieties. And Christ doesn't just stop there. He doesn't just give them command. Don't do it. Do not be anxious. Do not trust in the Lord. Christ graciously does not stop there, but he fleshes out this first remedy for them. How do I obey this command? Consider God, for he is greater than our hearts. We come to the second place, number two, second part of this remedy, trust in God. Simple. Trust in God. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, our text said. When we consider our God and his infinite power, his wisdom and his goodness, his sovereignty and his kind providence over all that he has created, and especially his children, this alone should be enough. This should have been enough for the disciples. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Our first hymn this morning was, "Behold our God seated on his throne. Come, let us adore him. Behold our God, nothing can compare. Come, let us adore him." Christ's remedy for the troubled disciples is this: believe in God. This is the God they knew and trusted. They were Jews. They were worshippers of God until Christ came and continued to be worshippers of God. This is the God of the scriptures as these disciples were taught, most of them probably from an early age. This is God who in his word prophesied with incredible detail of the events unfolding before them right now. And Christ has pointed out to this to them many times. The same God they trusted like their fathers before them, who parted the Red Sea for his people, who delivered them countless times from slavery and exile, fed them with bread from heaven, clothed them, gave them shoes that did not wear out for 40 years in the wilderness, provided water from a rock in the desert, delivered them from the flood in Noah's time. We can go on and on despite their continual sin and hard-heartedness. And Christ says, continue to believe in God. You know him. Christ doesn't bring anything new to them. You know this God. You, the 11, have already trusted in him. Christ is really saying, consider your God. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. You already believe in him, and you know him. I'm not bringing you anything new. Now proclaim the faith that you know. Believe in God again. Renew your faith in God in your darkest hour right now. Brothers and sisters, these are words not only to the 11, but to every single believer. An exhortation which we constantly need. Believe in God. O Christian, for your Father is possessed with infinite power and wisdom and goodness. He knows what is best for you. He manipulates. He makes all things to work together for your good. He's on his throne, ruling amongst the armies of heaven and amongst the inhabitants of the earth. And there is no one who can stay his hand. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Psalm 115, verse 3, "For our God is in the heavens. He does whatever he pleases." Why then are you so downcast, oh my soul? God is our refuge and strength. Believe in him. Believe in God, in his absolute sovereignty, his infinite wisdom, his unchanging faithfulness, and his wondrous love for you. And the troubled hearts of the disciples arose by not believing what was said, what was spoken of God by his prophets concerning Christ's sufferings and the glory that was to follow. It was written, and Christ pointed it out to them, "I must suffer, I will be betrayed, I will cry, my God, why have you forsaken me? I will lay down my life willingly for you. All things, these prophecies were coming to pass in their time. Just believe in God. God announced in plain terms that Christ was to be despised and rejected of men. He's to be wounded for our transgressions. He's to be bruised for our iniquities. These are the words of Jehovah himself. These are the words of Christ reinforcing them to his disciples continually. It is written, Christ said, God has said, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. All these things are written for your instruction. That when calamity and fear and uncertainty and sin and disease and even death strike, consider God. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Brothers and sisters, Christ has gone before us. We are not alone. Christ knew of these things with his disciples. He knew trouble himself. He knew the anguish in his own experience as a man humbled on earth, experienced travail of soul far more intense than you and I will ever have to bear. And his example is before us. He trusted in God and he had perfect peace. Isaiah 26:3 writes, you keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. Consider your God. God is greater than your hearts. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. The third part of this first remedy, we observe the third and final place. Believe also in Christ. Believe also in Christ. That whole first verse, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Let's be clear here today. We cannot consider God without considering Christ. We cannot consider God without considering Christ. We cannot know God without knowing Christ. We cannot genuinely believe in God without first believing in his Son. We cannot see God without first seeing his Son, for they are one. And Christ's mediatory work is exactly this, to bring us close to God. And we can never be close to God. And we can never truly know God unless we know and believe on Christ. Because Christ is the exact imprint and the Father has made him known. In these last days, Hebrews said, he has spoken to us in his Son. Brothers and sisters, friends here today, this is not an optional add-on to give us further comfort to our souls. Consider God, yes. Do not let your hearts be troubled because I consider God. Believe in God. And here's an extra one if you want to know. Further help not to be troubled in heart. Believing in God outside of Christ is not possible. We will see, Lord willing, in 2 weeks' time, the third remedy for the troubled heart, to bring all these remedies together, the rite of passage, the only rite of passage to peace with God and the peace of God in John 14:6 is this. Jesus' words, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. An unbeliever, you may say to me this afternoon, it is enough that I believe in God. I believe in God. It is enough. Am I not worshiping here today? I'm worshiping God. God will not condemn me. I do the best that I can. I believe in God. Not only is it not enough, it's impossible. Believe in God, believe also in me. And to truly believe in God is to believe in Christ. And to truly believe in Christ is to believe in God. This first remedy can only be effective if we believe in God and equally believe in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Through Christ alone, we can believe in God. We have seen several times in this gospel the testimony that Jesus is the eternal Logos, the Son of God, and the Word was God. In this text, we have one of the greatest self-proclamations of Christ in all of Scripture of His deity. Here we have the absolute deity of Christ in an unmistakable manner. Martin Luther said of this text, "Here thou seest plainly that Christ Himself testifies that He is equal with God Almighty, because we must believe in Him even as we believe in God. If He were no true God with the Father, His faith would be false and idolatrous." And so Christ comes to us and He says, "Believe also in Me." It is as if Christ is saying, "I have warned you of what you are to expect. I have told you that I am to suffer at the hands of the chief priests, the scribes, and be killed. These things must be. Hold fast to the beginning of your confidence, steadfast to the end. Be not offended at me, even though I go to a criminal's death on the cross. Believe also in me." An unbeliever here today, I must urge you again. Every anxiety and trouble that you experience in this life must pale into insignificance compared to the one legitimate trouble of heart that you must be anxious about. Your heart should be intensely troubled about this until you find the greatest remedy, a remedy for your sin. Your sins, every single one, that will justly condemn you to eternal damnation in the life to come. And I urge you today, the words of Christ come to you again today. Believe also in me. This remedy for the believer's heart is also the greatest and only remedy for your sin. Believe also in me. I'm the one who died for your sins, rose again for your justification. I'm the one who ever lives to make intercession for you. I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. I am the one who will come again and receive you to myself, and you will be with me forever. Yes, believe also in me. And believer, every precious child of God, with your weak faith, like the weak faith of these disciples, with your anxieties and with your fears, and all the uncertainties of life, faith in Christ is the only remedy for a troubled heart. 1 Peter 1, 8 and 9 expresses it this way, "Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. Though you do not now see Him, you believe in Him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls." Believer, trust also in Christ. Unbeliever, only Christ is enough. Only Christ can wash away your sin. Only Christ can bring you to God. Only Christ can give you peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Faith in Christ is the only remedy for the sinful, troubled heart. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ today, and you will be saved. That is the promise of the Scriptures. Brothers and sisters, here we have the first remedy for the troubled heart. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Christ makes every burden lighter. He will not remove them, but He lightens the load. He bears our burdens, just as we are called to carry one another's burdens. Brothers and sisters, the greatest burden that we have, the greatest burden of mankind, that burden of sin, unless released, will drag every person into hell to bear the cost of every sin committed in the body. that burden that Christ has borne at the cross, so that it rolled away, like when Christian got to the cross in Pilgrim's Progress, that huge burden he was carrying rolled away. Christ has done that for us. The burden Christ has borne at the cross was rolled off our backs and placed upon him. Would you be concerned about the little things in life? Cast your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Remember Jesus' words in Matthew 11, "Come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am gentle, lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Faith in the Lord Jesus is the only sure remedy for the troubled heart. And while these 11 disciples had believed God already, these 11 disciples had believed in Christ already, and yet he brings them the same cure for their present anxiety and trouble. It is an eternal cure. Brothers and sisters, this precious remedy is still ours today. Believe. Believe more. Believe distinctly in me, the Lord Jesus Christ. Consider your God. God is greater than your hearts. Believe in God. Believe also in Christ. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Let's pray together. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, how we thank you that you are the God of the Scriptures. How we thank you that your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the eternal God. He is our Savior. He has borne our sorrows on that tree on the cross. He has paid the penalty for our sins. He has taken away the greatest burden and care of our souls to give us eternal life. Oh Lord, we thank you for these words, that we, when we are confronted in this life with doubts and fears and with our own sin and with anxieties and with cares of today and tomorrow and worrying about things that have not yet been, Lord, may we take your word to heart. Let not your hearts be troubled. The words of our Savior, believe in God, believe also in me. Oh Lord, we pray that we would, in obedience and through your word, have our faith increased and strengthened. We can be like our Savior, who said in his darkest hour, "I trusted in God." Oh Lord, do this for us, we pray, for Christ's sake and for his glory. Amen.